Hello everyone. So we have with us Miril. She will be talking on Apache Fenerect. So I am taking this podium to her.
Thank you. Welcome everybody. As Gaurav has said, we will be talking today about Apache Fenerect. So first off, let me introduce myself. My name is Miril Kranz. I have 17 years of programming experience in Java and in C++. Specializing in API design and microservices architecture. I'm a solutions architect at the MIFOS initiative, which I'll tell you in a little bit what the MIFOS initiative is and what we do. I work primarily on the re-architecting of Apache Fenerect into REST microservices. So, first question some of you might have is why FinTech? Some people think FinTech is boring. The banking software is boring, the banking in general is boring, or unimportant even. So let me start by asking you guys some questions. Who here has ever borrowed money? Me too. To pay for your education, a house, or maybe just to get through an unexpected emergency. Who here would be here today without having had the ability to borrow money? Yeah, me neither. Who here's saving money? For vacation, for retirement, for short term, for long term? Who here paid for all of your travel expenses with cash? Me neither. So what that tells us is the banking services are pretty important to everybody in this room. But imagine this, there are 2 billion people in the world who have no access to banking services. So if they want to start a business, they can't take out a loan. If they want to save money, well, cash, tin can, third tree on the right. That's their only option. If they want to transfer money home to relatives, they might, if they're lucky, have access to some expensive handler who takes a big cut before sending the money. So this is where microfinance comes in. Poor people don't have a lot of money, but they do have money. Microfinance is about small amounts of money. In 1976, a man named Mohammed Yunus noticed that the village women in the village of Jobra, which is in India, had to take out usurious loans, ridiculous interest rates. They were buying bamboo, which they were using to build furniture or baskets. Traditional banks didn't want to make these loans because they thought that these women were too high of a risk. They didn't have much. So these women were having to go to loan sharks, basically. Mr. Yunus lent $27 to 42 women. So think about that. That's less than a dollar per woman. In 1976, that wasn't very much money either. The women made a small profit off of the work that they were able to do, and they repaid Mr. Yunus, and microfinance was born. Microfinance institutions provide very poor people with financial services such as loans, savings accounts, and money transfer. Before Mr. Yunus, these services were believed to be too expensive or too risky to provide to the poorest of the poor. But as Muhammad Yunus has said, you need a dollar to catch a dollar. So the lack of access to these services was keeping poor people poor. By October 1983, the project was turned into a full-fledged bank named the Grameen Bank, with an emphasis on lending to poor rural women. There's not very many women in this room, but there has been some research showing that, at least in developing countries, when women have the money, they invest it in the community and in their children. That was the reason for the focus on the poor rural women. In 1997, the Grameen Foundation was founded as an umbrella organization for banks outside of Bangladesh. Microfinance lifts poor people out of poverty, and bonus, it costs very little. 55% of Grameen customers who remain customers for 5 years exit poverty. But, or and, the average credit write-off, average credit write-off rate is 1% for these people. The average overdue rate is between 3 and 6%. So it's even possible to make a small profit in this sector while doing tremendous good. And the reason it works is because at the base of it, poor people are no different than anybody in this room. We all want to feed ourselves, we want to take care of our children, and we want to contribute to our communities. For his work helping poor people lift themselves out of poverty, Muhammad Yunus was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2006. By this time, the Grameen Foundation was involved, was not the only organization involved in microfinance. The sector was exploding with new businesses, NGOs, and creative new ideas. So it probably comes as no surprise that there's a lot of mundane math involved in banking. Interest compounding, repayment calculation, balance sheets, allocation of allowances for overdue loans, and et cetera. Big banks use expensive closed source software systems to do these tasks. Those systems cost a lot of money, and they amortize those costs over millions of relatively wealthy customers. That approach doesn't work for microfinance, because a microfinance institute might serve just one community, and that community doesn't have very much. They just don't have the funds available. Any infrastructure costs must be paid in the form of interest and fees by their clients. And this is one reason why you sometimes hear about high fees or high interest rates that people pay to these microcredits. This is a class of problems that we, as open source developers, have seen before and solved before. The Grameen Foundation looked to the open source movement and began developing software in 2004 because of the shortcomings of the software solutions available to MFIs at the time. The MFIs at the time were using Excel spreadsheets or even just Pencil. They called this new solution Microfinance Open Source, MIFOS. In 2011, the MIFOS Initiative, which is my employer, became an independent nonprofit organization which coordinates a community of software professionals and MFIs to support the development and deployment of free open source software. In 2015, FINRACT was accepted into incubation at the Apache Software Foundation, at the end of 2015, December 15th to be precise. The MIFOS Initiative donated all of the code, but the MIFOS Initiative continues to pay some of the development on Apache FINRACT. Some development is also provided by regional service providers, such as Musoni and Conflux, which offer services to these very small MFIs that are not capable of running their installations themselves. Now, what we're doing at the MIFOS Initiative is we're looking to support the next generation of financial inclusion products. What is the next generation? Well, it's already underway, and it's called mobile money. Mobile phone use has topped 60% worldwide, and feature phones are even available to the poorest of the poor now. They don't require reliable access to power. They don't require access to a phone, to a cable, to an actual landline phone. And 2G network coverage has topped 95% of the world population. So it is now possible to provide banking services to people in the remotest of areas without infrastructure. A report from the McKinsey Global Institute found that delivering financial services by mobile phone could add $3.7 trillion to the GDP of developing countries in the next 10 years by 2025. $3.7 trillion to the poorest of the poor. That's enough money to create 95 million jobs. So, by now you're wondering, what does this have to do with you? Why am I here? What do I want? I want you to get involved. How many people in this room are open source developers? Perfect. How many of you consider yourselves idealists? If you're interested in attacking world poverty at its roots, this is one of its roots. This is one of the things we can do. Come join us. And it can benefit you too. So fintech is the up-and-comer in the technology world right now. You can get a start looking in fintech. You can become more financially literate. I've learned a lot about banking. It's helped me in my private life. You can gain programming experience with new patterns. If you haven't tried out the command query responsibility separation pattern, we use that pattern here. We use REST. You can work with diverse team members. The only continents that we don't have contributors from are Australia. Any Australians in this room? Are Australia and Antarctica. You can program for environments with low network reliability. You can, and this is a favorite in my book, you can promote an open source culture in finance. So finance is important to the world. I think we've established that it's important to everybody in this room. We have something to contribute to that in the open source community. We have an understanding of how communities work together and transparency and openness that I think that we need to provide to the finance community. Second. According to the McKinsey, there are three things required for those 3.7 billion to happen by 2010. That is widespread mobile and digital infrastructure. We've seen that. A dynamic business environment for financial services. We're already seeing that. And digital finance products that meet the needs of individuals and small products. This is where we can help. No. I needed my own text. And as I was saying, the people who benefit from this work are the poorest of the poor. So what does it look like inside? We're all developers. We want to see something cool, right? Some of the technologies we're using, well, like as we learned last night, what was it, over 50% of the projects at Apache? I don't remember the exact number, but we use Java. We use MariaDB or MySQL via OpenJPA. We develop under the Spring platform using Mockito and JUnit and Tomcat. Some of the patterns we use, REST. We use a command query responsibility segregation, and multi-tenancy is also important in our space. So I may have mentioned we have service providers who offer installation services for the small MFIs. Then they offer the same installation to multiple MFIs, so they have multi-tenancy. I'm going to cover some of the patterns that we use, and then I'm going to cover where we're going in the future with Apache FinAct. So starting with the command query and responsibility segregation. If you want to know more about this after the presentation, Martin Fowler has an excellent online article about it. So as you know, as everybody knows, all programs accept input from end users and display data to end users. But users' commands and users' queries do not need to be processed in the same code paths or represented using the same domain objects. Using different paths and representations can have some advantages. For example, commands might be saved in a system which is optimized for write performance, such as a NoSQL database, and then write operations don't need to block read operations. Coordination between the two can be achieved via an event queue. One added benefit of this is that because we're saving all of the commands, we can also audit the change history, which is important in baking software. So, next topic, multi-tenancy. How do we achieve this? One bank consists of multiple employees and hopefully customers. these employees, and to a lesser extent their customers, will want to access the bank's data. The bank's data is stored by Finaract in an SQL database. But what happens when you have multiple banks or multiple MFIs sharing the same Finaract installation? You want to be able to keep the data apart. You don't want one bank accessing the data from another bank. You don't want the wire whisk in your eggs in this case. So how do we do that? Well, Finaract solves the problem by creating one database for each financial institution. And each financial institution can access only its data and not the others. So, as promised, where are we going from here? Now remember, we have 2 billion people without bank accounts. We actually, if you look at the whole number, there are 4 billion people with inadequate access to banking services. They have some, but not all of the services that we've been talking about. So a total of 4 billion unbanked and underbanked human beings on this planet. If we want to connect them to each other financially, connect them to us financially, the world needs financial systems that make efficient use of resources while still being able to scale up. They need financial systems that are customizable to a wide variety of locales, and that doesn't just mean localizing the interface. It also means localizing the products, the financial products. And they need a financial system that can recover robustly in the face of minor outages and catastrophes. To meet these needs, the MIFOS initiative is currently working on re-architecting Finaract as a cloud-native solution. This means taking the current single monolithic Finaract, Apache Finaract application and decomposing its functionality into its parts, finding the natural functionality groups, and composing these into REST microservices. Once you've got them composed into REST microservices, you can respond to peaks in demand by scaling up, by spinning up more instances of the Finaract, of that particular Finaract service. And then to save costs, decreasing, spinning them down when the demand goes down. At the same time, we can upgrade or replace individual microservices when custom functionality is needed. For example, one thing that's very interesting in certain parts of the world is Sharia-compliant banking products. There are certain rules about how interest can be charged in the Islamic world. So we can replace our products module with a module that's specialized for a Sharia-compliant environment. And through blue-green deployment, we can also do this without downtime. So we can bring up a new instance of a microservice and pull in and lit down the old one, and we don't have to take down the whole system to do that. So this is the way we're decomposing the current Finaract architecture into pieces. We're doing a reporting module, an accounting module, a module for organization, so for which employees, which banks there are. CRM, KYC means know your customer. That's just basically which customers there are and where you can find them. Doing an audit module, transaction processing, product portfolio, and of course, not to forget, security. That's how we're decomposing it. So, any questions? We're working with Pivotal Cloud Foundry. We've started doing installations on AWS and on VMware to test that out. But the architecture, the microservices architecture itself, although we're testing it on Pivotal Cloud Foundry, there's nothing about it that we're just releasing fat jars. There's nothing about it that shouldn't be possible to run on other cloud architectures.
Are you using some frameworks for CQRS? I'm not an expert of CQRS, but I see some products using it, and I wanted to know if you have implemented from scratch some solution for it. Or
we've implemented it from scratch. I don't actually know of any frameworks for CQRS. It's more of a design pattern than a.
I know a framework, but in this moment I don't remember the name. But.
Okay, maybe you can tell me afterwards.
Yeah.
Hi, my question is, I am a spec lead of the money JSR in Java, and the question is then how monetary amounts are modeled in your software currently.
Sorry, I had trouble understanding that.
Okay, I try again.
Yeah.
The question is about the modeling of monetary amounts in your system. Which kind of model do you use? I hope you don't use doubles. I assume you use something like big decimal. But in Java space, there was a standard, which is now final since about 2 years, I think, which is the standard number 354. And the question is, if you already use that standard for representation of money in your system, or you just do it on your own?
So we're talking about two systems here, actually. We're talking about the current FINRAC system, and we're talking about the new system. So in the current system, we're just using our own representation. But for the new system, we're looking at the standards and orienting ourselves on the standards.
Next question I would have when I look at what kind of functionality you're building up here, you mainly are targeting, what I understood is the microfinance space. But when I look what you have here on functionality, basically even a normal small bank could be interested in that kind of software as well.
That's true, and in fact there are small.
And there I see also some kind of, and that's what I liked, why I find it's quite an interesting project. Because I have banking background. I worked for Credit Suisse for about 7 years, mm-hmm. and when I look what you have created here and what they are doing, spending money all the time, basically they should go open source and participate here. It would be a win-win situation.
Yeah, there are in fact even small banks using it. There are credit unions in the U.S. even using Apache FINRAC. They got onto it before it was called Apache FINRAC. They got onto it in as MIFOs. But yeah, definitely, it is usable for small banks.
Would be an option, for example, to try if you get in contact with some additional financial institutes to get more sponsorship as well for the project.
Definitely, definitely, yeah. Any more questions?
I'm guessing that, you know, if you're dealing with these communities, you're dealing with vulnerable communities as well, and you mentioned the security module. Could you talk a little bit about the security that FINRAC uses, like at a transactional layer and then at a network layer? Like, what are you doing to protect what's going on there?
Well, again, there's two. We're talking about two Apache FINRACs now, but in the current generation, the one that's out there now, we have two layers. We have the back end, which is what is actually FINRAC, and we also have a community application. One thing we do is there's a REST layer. We accept all input over the REST layer. There is no SQL injection or what have you. To some extent, though, this is also a question of how it's installed. So you do have to make sure that your database is protected. This is something that's up to the service providers to cover. And then that we have there's a token architecture to keep the so that the only the verified application that can communicate with the REST interface. That it's a big question though, security. So if you want to know more about it, then maybe we can talk again after the presentation.
So you mentioned that 95% of the world's covered in 2G. A lot of that seems to be done on dumb phones. So is the interfacing, is there any work being done to interface the older generation technology that is not provided by smartphones?
Yes, there are. It's not provided by FINRAC itself, but there are partners creating USSD interfaces for the back-end system. And they, yeah. So the answer is yes. USSD is part of what's being done out there for FINRAC. Any more questions?
You said that you wanted people to join the project.
Yes.
For those of us who are massively overcommitted, but maybe have half an afternoon here at the hackathon table, are there ways that we could help out a little bit without jumping in fully?
The best thing to do if you want to help out a little bit is check out, go to the dev list and ask what you can do. There are people who concentrate on finding tasks for exactly that class of thing. And in fact, there's Ed Cable's currently putting together a Google, Google Summer Intern Initiative, where he's finding exactly, he's asked several volunteers to find exactly these small tasks. And there will be hundreds of small tasks available in that context. I'm not sure if you want to be taking the tasks away from high schoolers, but you know, you can look at it, and maybe you'll find something that interests you or that you can help out in that context too.
So following on from Nick's question about contributors, so what about, do you have anything for people who are not technical or not developers? Because
there is a need for documentation. Write to the dev list and ask for what you can do. Maybe you know the answer to that even.
I think with the Fenerect, with MIFOS, I think we have many of the tasks that is non-technical, but I'm not sure, like with Fenerect, because it has this just the Java code base with it, and I'm not sure like much of the thing is non-technical part, other than documentation.
What Gaurav is sort of referring to is we have the back end is Fenerect. The community app, the front end, is still part of MIFOS initiative, but that's also open source. So if you're interested in contributing on that side, you could also contribute to the front end.
Yeah, that is the AngularJS-based front end application.
So, any more questions?
Do you implement any blockchain technology in the platform?
No.
Intention?
It's not on our plan now. That's not entirely true. We do have a connector to Stellar. You've got your core banking system is there for tracking the money, tracking which bank employees, which users you have. But blockchain is more about moving money. We have a Stellar connector. Stellar is also based on blockchain. On blockchain technology that you can use, it's currently in progress. It's mostly done, but not quite done. That once it's done, you'll be able to use to transfer money from a Fenerect user to any Stellar account user. You guys may not know what Stellar is. It's a fork of Ripple. Any more questions? All right. Thank you.